Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you.
Join the CCW UK Executive Exchange from 12th November to 14th November 2024 at the Hilton London Sion Park. Network with top CX leaders and explore cutting-edge strategies to transform customer experience. Don't miss out. Register today. More details on www.cxgoalkeeper.com/CCW Europe.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today I am here with Eric and we are going to discuss his latest book, Stop Engaging Employees, Start Making Work More Human. Hi Eric, how are you?
Great, Greg. So excited to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. And as usual, we want to learn more about you, about today's top player. Eric, could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Eric Isle. And, you know, I grew up working in corporate contexts of one sort or another. So most of my professional career has been in large corporations for the past 3 decades or so. At the same time, I've also been, while doing that, I've been a music journalist, a DJ, a performer, a playwright. And so I see myself as being a lot of things all at once. And right now what I do is I speak and I write to help leaders who are led by their heart to create human-centric workplaces that get results.
Thank you, Eric. And now I already have somebody that will create the music for the beginning of my podcast. Joke aside, which values drive your life?
Well, gosh, you know, that's always a difficult question. But I think, you know, something I've been thinking about recently is human dignity. I think the protection and preservation of human dignity is really important to me. And that's true whether we're at work or anyplace else. But specifically in the work that I do, that really means that I, you know, that I look at protecting and preserving human dignity at work. I always say that business is nothing more or less than humans serving humans. And I think that, you know, humans being of service to each other does not mean that humans are servants to each other. And I would say just to cap that off, the value that above all is sort of drives me is that I think that the purpose of work in our lives is to increase flourishing for ourselves and for our fellow humans. And so that's what I think we're here for.
Thank you very much for this outstanding introduction. Now we know a bit more about today's top player, Eric, and let's start the game. Stop engaging employees, start making work more human. Everybody's speaking about engaging employees. You are already on the next level. How is it possible that prioritizing connections over conformity leads to better organizational results?
Oh, that's a great question, Greg. Yeah, and I would say, you know, I always have to address the title "Stop Engaging Employees," which is that it is intentionally, you know, it's an attention grabbing title, and it's not meant to suggest that employee engagement isn't important. But what it's meant to suggest is that engagement is not something we do to other people. I always say we can't engage employees any more than we can make someone fall in love with us, and we shouldn't try. And so instead, what I'm offering is a framework in which we can cultivate the conditions in which engagement is more likely to occur. And that gets to your question about connection. So yeah, so one of my many principles is that connection is more important than conformity. And the way that I look at it is that every person in an organization, whether that organization is 2 people or 2,000 people, every person who's there brings unique value. And when human beings connect, like you and I are connecting right now, we actually create more value. And that human connection that we have has emergent properties, meaning we can't necessarily predict what we're going to get when we connect. But what comes out of it is often more valuable than what we would get by just doing what one person told us to do. So that's what I mean when I say connection over conformity.
Thank you. You are speaking about principles. Could you please outline which principle you have defined in your book?
Yeah, so the book really provides 6 key leadership disciplines that, if practiced over time, cultivate the conditions in which engagement is more likely to occur, but more importantly, in which humans are more likely to flourish and get business results as well. So those six deep disciplines are, first of all, empathize. So empathize is really about listening deeply to our fellow humans in the workplace, specifically to understand what they need to be successful and what's getting in their way. And when it comes to CX folks, this is really important, I think, because we don't always make sure that folks are equipped and enabled to do what we're asking them to do. So that's empathize. The second one is encourage. And this is really about encouraging our fellow humans to get involved in solving important problems and doing meaningful work. So again, in the case of customer experience professionals, if we want to make our organization more customer-centric, rather than telling people what to do, let's ask them to get involved in helping us become more customer-centric. And I can provide an example of an organization that's done exactly that. The third discipline is educate. And educate isn't necessarily about teaching people things. It's really about having the conversations that we need to have so that we all develop a shared understanding about three things. What's most important? Why is it important right now? And what does each person have to do with that important thing? So educate is really about having these conversations to develop that shared understanding. The fourth discipline is enable. And enable is about taking the answer to the question that we asked in empathize, which is what do you need to be successful, and making sure that our fellow humans are equipped. So that's making sure that we have the knowledge, the tools, the skills, the resources that we need to be successful, to do what we're here to do, and also to become the best versions of ourselves through our work. The fifth is empower. And empower is really about making it easier for our fellow humans to do what they need to do. This comes up a lot when I talk to customer experience professionals, because we'll say, you know, we've asked people to provide great customer service, but we also have this policy that says they're not allowed to approve a credit of more than 10 euros or whatever it happens to be, right? And instead, to really look at this and say, what are the ways that we can make it easier for people to do what we've asked them to do? And that might be looking at policies for unintended negative consequences, or putting in place policies to make it easier. And the last discipline is embrace. And embrace is really about noticing and celebrating the attitudes, the mindsets, the behaviors, and the outcomes that we want and need to become the kind of organization we want to become. I always say that, you know, organizations have gotten really good at spotting when things go wrong. And so embrace is really a reminder that we need to try to notice when things go right. So those are the six key disciplines.
Thank you. And now I need to ask this question. You need to choose among your children, which one of these six disciplines do you like the most, or do you think that's the most important?
Yes, it's a terrible question. The way that I think about it is nothing can happen without the first discipline, which is empathize. If we do not understand, and your customer experience professionals know very well that we need to deeply understand our customers, and it's no different from our fellow humans that we work with in a workplace. We need to understand who they are. What are their needs? What are their aspirations? What are their fears? What are their motivations? Those, if we understand those things, then the rest of those disciplines become easier. So I always say start with empathize. We don't tend to, in organizations, value listening very highly. We value talking, like what I'm doing right now, but we don't necessarily value listening. And empathize is really about practicing listening.
Eric, I think today it's your role to talk a lot. And I hope that the audience on the other side is careful listening to what you're saying, and perhaps also taking some notes, because it's really interesting what you're sharing, and these are really important topics. You mentioned that earlier that you can provide some examples. Which are your preferred examples that you like the most and you share with in the book and with the people listening to what you're sharing?
Yeah, thank you. So my favorite example, and actually my favorite to share with customer experience folks like your audience specifically, comes from the company MultiChoice in Africa. They operate in 16, 17 countries across Africa. They're a TV and internet service provider. And what I love about them is that several years ago, you know, they're the big player in their market, and they realized that they were losing market share to smaller companies that were more nimble, more customer-centric, where they had become very product-centric. And they realized they needed to become more customer-centric. And rather than go through the usual things that organizations do, like create a campaign and send employees to training and all of these things, What they did is they went to their voice of customer data and they found the top 99 problems that the organization had related to customers. And then they shared those problems with the whole 3,000 employee organization and said, how should we solve these problems? So they listened, they shared, encouraged people to get involved, and then employees with no incentives, no bribes, no prizes, employees submitted their ideas for how to solve the problems and then got involved in actually implementing those solutions. So they had these 99 problems and they addressed all of them within a year. More than a third of the employee base got involved in trying to help solve these problems. And what I love about this is that they went into this with the assumption that employees who worked with customers knew how to solve customer problems better than senior leadership did. That they didn't need to be trained in how to be customer-centric because they were already customer-centric. And in some cases, they were actually customers of the company. And that what they needed to do is to be given the opportunity to contribute meaningfully to the organization. So that story of MultiChoice, which I learned from a guy named Clint Payne, who is a brilliant CX leader in South Africa, that story, I feel like, embodies most, if not all, of those six disciplines.
It's really very interesting, and thank you for sharing that. I think what you're saying is extremely important, that employees are also customers of the company. They go through the processes. They have these journeys. They understand what's happening. You mentioned that this is an example related to customer experience. Perhaps do you have also an example related to leadership? Because I think this is also extremely important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think an organization that I've worked with recently is actually a governmental organization. So I've worked with a governmental organization here in the States. And the leader is, you know, in a place of government which can be very conformity driven, it can be very compliance driven. And of course there are a lot of things that they must do. And the leader of this organization has determined that their focus will always be on making sure that their citizens, the people that they serve, and their employees are taken care of. And so he has prioritized these disciplines, and I see him do things like meet one-on-one with every single employee in his organization, which is quite a lot for him to do, but he meets one-on-one with them. He actually knows them, understands them, and he's able to build for them a work experience that they can, in which they can actually be successful, in which they can become the best versions of themselves, and in which they can feel like they're doing meaningful work. He's done an amazing job of staying focused on these disciplines in a way that gets results.
Thank you. And we always say that all the best things are three, and therefore do you have perhaps a third example that you want to share, your preferred one?
Okay, yes. The third example I will give is let me think. There's so many possibilities. I'll go to a nonprofit. So a nonprofit organization that I've worked with, very large organization, they work all around the globe, and they, when I actually started working with them, they had very serious challenges with internal silos, and every organization has silos in it. I know you recently had my friend Sean Albertson on your podcast, and Sean talks about silos all the time. But these silos, these areas of specialization that are isolated from each other in organizations can be a real problem. And in the case of this nonprofit that I was working with, it was actually getting in the way of the impact that they were trying to have around the globe, specifically related to making sure people had clean water. And what they did is they decided that they were going to focus in on connection among their staff. So rather than getting in there and saying we need to do conflict resolution, or we need to figure out how to better serve our constituents or our donors or whatever they could have gotten distracted by, they decided that they were going to focus on their connections with each other. And to see the leader at the time, who has since retired, she did an amazing job of really modeling this and saying, when we come here to accomplish something important together, we need to connect with each other first in order to be a strong organization, a strong team.
Thank you for these three great examples. In this field, there are a lot of misconceptions around engaging employees. And the usual example is, let's take the executive board, send them to five-star hotels. They do a retreat there for 2 days. We tell them that empathy is important. They work together. They come back, lead by example, and then everybody will be empathetic. How do you address this misconception?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there's so many misconceptions, and I think fundamentally what you're describing gets at something that I don't talk about a lot, but I think is really important, which is this notion that the people that we work with, including senior leaders to any level of the organization, that they are there as instruments to accomplish something that the organization wants to accomplish. And while that is true, it is also true that each one of us is a whole human being with a whole interesting backstory. We've made something of ourselves. We've brought ourselves to this point and have unique value to bring to the organization. And I think that misconception that you're describing right there is this misconception that people need to be fixed, that we need to somehow address some shortcoming in a person in order for them to better serve the organization. When in reality, what we probably need to do is better appreciate who they are and what they bring.
And which misconceptions do you tackle with your customers?
One of the ones that I tackle quite often is this misconception that compassion for our fellow humans and respect for a leader, for example, cannot coexist. And they absolutely can. And this is where I think I come to the idea that leadership is really about, you know, cultivating these conditions in which we can all thrive and flourish. When we do that, then we actually show compassion and we earn respect. And I think this notion that somehow I have to be tough and tell people what to do or else they won't respect me, I think is a very common misconception. And it comes from, you know, decades, maybe even centuries of management thinking that I think has become obsolete.
I think that's extremely important. But what's these leaders, this senior management is always facing is bringing the results. By the end of the quarter, you need to bring your results. And what you're sharing, it's extremely important. We all know that. But it's something that you need to do next to your job, next to bringing all the results that are required. How can a leader balance bringing the performance, but also creating this workplace where we are more human-centric?
That's an important question, Greg. I think it's a mistake to think that somehow performance and human centricity are things that have to be balanced at all. So I believe that they go hand in hand, and that we're not improving the human experience so that we get better results. We're improving the human experience because that's the whole point. And we also get better business results as an outcome of that. I had this conversation recently with the great Lou Carbone, who is a brilliant thinker and one of the founders of experience management. And we were talking about this notion that all of these things that we're doing to get business results, those business results are actually just indicating to us whether or not we're supporting human flourishing and a better world. And so this notion that these things are in conflict, I think is a mistake. And instead, I think we should be looking at how do we improve human centricity and performance at the same time. That makes it harder. We can measure with money. We can always measure with money if we must. But I think ultimately what we're trying to get to, and all that money is indicating, is whether or not we're actually helping people flourish or not. So I think keeping those things in line, not as things that need to be balanced or that are in tension, but in fact are helping each other and are synergistic, is a helpful mindset shift.
Thank you, Eric. This game is coming to an end. I really recommend to the audience to post it podcast, go to Amazon and Old Bookshop and buy Stop Engaging Employees, Start Making Work with More Human. You get some highlights, some insights, but it's really worth it to read it. Now this game is coming to an end, but in the extra time, in the last 3 minutes, I still have three questions for you, Eric. Fast forward in 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. I hope that you've wrote several books. What you are discussing about?
Oh, gosh. I hope that in 10 years that we have achieved a state where maybe 80% of the humans on the planet are really flourishing, are having their needs met, are accomplishing their aspirations, are feeling motivated in their lives. How do we help the other 20%? That's what I think we'll be talking about is how do we get ourselves to 100%.
Thank you. What's the best way to contact you, to find you?
Oh, gosh, I'm easy to find. There's no one who spells their name like me. E-R-Y-C-E-Y-L. It's just seven letters, but it can be hard to spell. So find me on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to connect. I've also, Greg, for your listeners, I've created a special landing page. So ericisle.com/CX Goalkeeper. If folks go there, they can sign up and get the chapter from my book, the first chapter of the book. And of course, it'll be added to my mailing list. So you'll find out where I'll be speaking and how to find out more information about how I can help. So that's another great way to connect with me.
Thank you. For the people listening to this podcast, Eric showed the link. I will share that also in the show notes. You will find all this information that Eric shared also in the show notes of this episode. And now we are coming to the last question. Is Eric's golden nugget? It's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience?
So it's something we didn't discuss, but it's something that's really important to me, which is that I think a lot of us approach leadership like it's an engineering problem or like it's a DIY home improvement project where we just need to get the plan, the tools and the materials, and we can design and build the kind of organization we want, the kind of culture we want. But I think what we all actually know from experience is that human things don't work that way. And so rather than thinking about it like a carpentry project, I encourage folks to think of leadership like gardening. Gardening is a discipline in which we practice certain things over time in hopes that we'll get a certain result. We can't control all of the outcomes. We can't say that we want to grow 5 tomatoes right there. But instead, what we can do is we can cultivate the conditions in which tomatoes are more likely to grow. So I encourage folks to lead like a gardener.
Thank you very much, Eric, for this outstanding golden nugget. Please, Eric, stay with me. To the audience, it's everything for today. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. You will find all the link in the show notes. Please take a look by the book of Eric, Stop Engaging Employees, Start Making Work More Human. Thank you very much and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Greg.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.